Hello, great patriotic friends, and welcome to September 1st on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. It is I, your host, Joseph DeCristoforo. One of the reasons why I do this show is because knowing history is important. One of humanity's flaws is trying to get somewhere not knowing where we came from. Just wind up going in circles and repeating mistakes of the past. So yeah, knowing history is important. I assembled this podcast from a tool shed in my backyard in beautiful La Mesa, California, right next to America's finest city, San Diego. If you're looking to move in the area, or if you already live in the area, you might want to check out TeresaLovesRealEstate.com and then give her a call. 619-507-4906. As a full-service Encinitas and San Diego real estate professional, Teresa works with buyers, sellers, and investors in real estate transactions. So give her a call, 619-507-4906. And check out our website, TeresaLovesRealEstate.com. And now let's begin the show as we normally do with the Pledge of Allegiance. Let's everybody stand up. Face the flags if we have one and put our right hands over our hearts and begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Very nice. And now moving on to today's headlines. Atlanta falls to the Union.
Parliament passes the Currency Act. The Peabody Hotel opens up in Memphis. Sheena, the Queen of the Jungle, debuts in comic books. And Bad Habit makes the longest ram jump in monster truck history.
All right, so now let's get started.
1864. Atlanta falls to Union troops. Union Army General William Tecumseh Sherman had successfully cut John Hood's supply lines in the past by sending out detachments, but the Confederates quickly repaired the damage. In later August, Sherman determined that if he could cut Hood's supply lines, the Mason and Western, and the Atlanta and West Point railroads, the rebels would have to evacuate Atlanta. Sherman, therefore, decided to move six of his seven infantry corps against the supply lines. The army began pulling out of its position on August 25th to hit the Mason and Western Railroad between Rough and Ready and Jonesboro. To counter the move, Hood sent Lieutenant General William J. Hardee with two corps to halt and possibly rout the Union troops, not realizing Sherman's army was there in force. On August 31st, Hardee attacked two Union corps west of Jonesboro, but was easily repulsed. Fearing an attack on Atlanta, Hood withdrew the corps from Hardee's forces that night. The next day, a Union corps broke through Hardee's troops, which retreated Lovejoy's Station, and on the night of September 1st, Hood evacuated Atlanta. Sherman did cut Hood's supply line, but failed to destroy Hardee's command.
1764, Parliament passes the Currency Act. The 13 colonies didn't have gold and silver mines, so trading was a little tough, and they had to rely on printing paper money or bills of credit, especially for the French and Indian Wars. But the system was chaotic. It had no actual regulation or even a standard value on which to base the notes. Sometimes you paid interest, sometimes you didn't have to. Its usage was questioned and often doubted. Some bills could only be used to purchase and not to pay debts. Some of the notes could only be used privately. The British were very uncomfortable with taking colonial money that was depreciating in value, and therefore in 1751 passed the First Currency Act. While this act allowed bills of credit to be used publicly or to pay taxes in military, it was restricted for use privately. This meant that merchants didn't have to deal with depreciating currency. And then on this day, in 1764, expanded the restriction to all colonies, prohibiting the issuance of any new bills of credit and the reissue of existing currency by the American colonists, all 13 of them. Americans, once again, didn't have silver or gold. There were no mines. There was no trading of gold and silver with the French or Dutch or Spanish in the West Indies because the English wouldn't allow it. So the disruption of trade between the colonies simply divided their allegiance to the crown even further.
1925. Peabody Hotel opens in Memphis. If it walks like a duck and quacks like a duck, it could get a job at this luxurious hotel.
Quack in the 1930s, General Manager Frank Schutt and his buddies went on a hunting trip in Arkansas, and when they returned, they may have sipped a little bit too much of that delicious Jack Daniels and thought it would be hilarious to put duck decoys in the hotel fountain. Turns out, everyone else at the hotel quacked up too at the sight, and the tradition began from there. After all these years, if you visit the hotel, every day at 11 o'clock, the duck master appears and rolls out a red carpet for our fine feathered friends who come marching out to Seuss's King Cotton March. They head towards the fountain where they swim around for the day. And then at 5 p.m., they walk back to their suite for the night. Brings new meaning to paying the hotel bill, quack quack. The training is constant, since ducks don't have a very long lifespan, and every 3 months, a new group of ducks begin training while the veterans get to move to a nearby farm. Kids and adults alike enjoy watching this march every day because it's just ducky. Come on, you knew I was going to say that. That was a gimme. 1941, Sheena, Queen of the Jungle, debuts in America. Right before the very first Wonder Woman comic book. What a coincidence. Sheena, according to the official comic buyer's guide, is ranked the 59th sexiest woman in comics. Great news, nerds! That means there are 58 comic book women that are even sexier.
Have fun with that.
Sheena was actually issued in the UK comic Rags in 1937. She was orphaned as a child when she was on a safari trip to Africa and then raised by a jungle tribe and developed the ability to communicate with the wild and became an expert with knives and spears. And yes, nerds,
she's blonde.
So there you go. 2013. Bad Habit makes the longest ramp jump in monster truck history. Joe Sylvester, originally from Boardman, Ohio, does not like to be in second place ever. He started young, riding motocross, BMX bikes, downhill mountain bikes, go-karts, cars, off-road, you name it. He held the original record for the longest jump at 208 feet. And then his record was broken, and that didn't sit well with Joe. It would be on this day in 2013, he'd get that record back in Columbus, Pennsylvania, when he drove Bad Habit up to 85 miles an hour, went up that ramp, and jumped over a semi, 237 feet. When Joe reached the other side of the jump ramp, his front end was way low. And if you watch it, it's hard not to grit your teeth because it looks like he's about to tip over his front. But Joe steered Bad Habit with powerful precision and landed at the perfect angle like an ace. He lost a little bit of his front end, which, like I said, was nerve-wracking, but he made it. Do it again, Joe! USA! 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 And so that, my friends, is going to wrap it up for September 1st on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. Once again, I am your host, Joseph DeCristoforo. Check out the website, joesdailyushistorylesson.com. Let me know what you thought about today's program. For instance, Civil War buffs, what was your take with Sherman's response to Atlanta Mayor Calhoun about destroying the city? Have you ever been to the Peabody Hotel? Have you ever read a Sheena comic book? Or are you more of a monster truck kind of a person? So yeah, let me know what you think. You can also take a shot at some of the multiple choice quizzes that are on the website as well. Let me know how you do on those. And be sure to check out tomorrow's program. I'll talk about the U.S. Treasury, the Rock Spring Massacre, baseball news about the Orioles,
Krishna comes to West Virginia, and a low tree count.
So don't miss that. In the meantime, you can catch me on Facebook and Twitter. So until then, friends, thanks for listening, and thanks for being great patriotic Americans. We'll see you tomorrow.